Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Lowe's knows that free makes everything better. That's why our rewards members get free standard shipping on the things they need and want, starting at Silver Key status every day. Savings for rewards members add up fast, so why wait? Join for free today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/shipping terms. Subject to change.
Your best plan of action is to get right with the Lord today. Don't waste the days you have on this earth chasing things that will make you miss out on being caught up in the clouds with Jesus. Imagine the chaos on earth when this takes place. Imagine the news outlets reporting that millions have disappeared, seemingly vanished into thin air. Imagine the distress on the Christian man or woman who know exactly what has just taken place. The horror on their faces as they come to the realization that they have been left behind. Yes, they heard about Jesus. They could recite the Word of God, but they were not right with God. They lived a double life, a life where one foot was in the world and the other was in the church. They had one hand on the Bible and the other hand in the world. Anyone lukewarm will not be caught up in the clouds with Christ. Only those who burn for Him. Those who live with a holy obsession and an insatiable appetite to serve the kingdom of God. Those are the people who will be caught up in the twinkling of an eye. I want to read a short passage of scripture from the book of Matthew, and I pray it will take on a completely new and more profound meaning to you now. Matthew chapter 24, verse 40 to 44 says, "Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. When the Lord comes to take his people and meet them in the clouds, it doesn't matter who you're associated with. It won't matter who your next of kin is or who you're in business with. The Bible paints a clear picture. In the twinkling of an eye, two men will be in a field. One will be right with God and one will not. The one who is right with God will instantaneously be caught up to Jesus. But the other man will be left to count the cost. On that day, those who will be left behind will count the cost of their sin. Was it worth it? Was it worth gaining the whole world and losing your soul? Was it worth the money, sir? Was it worth the anger and gossip, ma'am? Was the addiction worth it? Those who are left behind will have to endure the tribulation period and the rulership of the Antichrist, and so there will be difficult days ahead for them. So as you listen in this very moment, if you will take one thing away from my message today, take away this. Get right with the Lord. Don't wait. Don't debate. Don't speculate whether or not you've got more time. Tomorrow is promised for none of us. Get right and live right from today. Give your heart to the Lord. It's good to be career-driven. It's good to be into your fitness. It's good to have ambition and to work hard at setting up your own business, but none of these things should ever overshadow the fact that Jesus Christ should be first in your life. He should be at the center of all you do. He should be the one that receives all the glory and honor. So if there is any sin that you need to repent of, turn away from it today. Hell is real. The rapture is real. Heaven is real. Jesus is real. So take action and make peace with God today. Because in the twinkling of an eye, when that day comes, you won't have any time to make any changes or do something about it. So why wait? Get right with God today.
1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14 to 16 says, "As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.'" The reason the world acts the way it does is because of ignorance. They do not comprehend the beauty and the worth of the gospel. They do not understand that what God has in store for them is infinitely better than the empty promises of sin. But God has opened our eyes. He has called us out of our ignorant ways and to something greater. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. "Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness."
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
"To completion in the fear of God." In the Old Testament, the Hebrew people would perform ritual cleansings after encountering anything unclean. What if we showed that same kind of dedication to the spots of worldliness in our lives? What if we were determined to make a clean break with any habit, any behavior, any attitude not pleasing to God? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21 says, "Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work." Oftentimes, we act like the world because we're afraid of stepping on toes. We're afraid of the ridicule or the criticism we might even receive if we show ourselves to be true followers of Christ. And deep down, we're afraid that somehow by letting go of this world, we might be missing out. But when we separate ourselves from this world, we are not depriving ourselves of any good thing. Rather, we are taking hold of the promises of God, which are far greater.
Have you ever been in a room full of people, but felt as though you don't belong? Have you ever gone to a place, an event, or a concert even, but felt as though you don't belong there? Have you ever bumped into an old friend and you get to talking and in the middle of the conversation you realize, no, something is off here. I'm no longer comfortable around you. Well, when Jesus Christ enters your heart, when you are born again, you will begin to recognize a few things. Old appetites are gone. You begin to question your old habits. You analyze and become aware of your sinful thought patterns. When Jesus Christ enters your heart and you truly receive him, you will find that the old rooms you used to enter so freely will become challenging to step into because your heart has changed. The places you used to visit, those bars, those adult entertainment places, all of them will make your spirit feel uneasy, and you certainly won't be comfortable in that environment anymore. And this is all because Jesus Christ has entered your heart. You see, when the Lord begins a work, he will always deal with you first. He will always start with the inner part of you first. And that in turn will result in a change of attitude, a change of habits, a change of behavior. Romans 12 verse 2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Saints, do not conform to this world. That's a clear word of instruction. Don't comply with this world. Don't become acclimated to this world. Saints, we are in this world, but we should not become accustomed, nor should we adjust to this world. And so you may ask, what exactly should we not be accustomed to in this world? Well, let me tell you that the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, "In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers, to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." I want to focus on the first few words of this verse. The God of this world has blinded the minds. Saints, this world is lost. And the Bible clearly says the God of this world, the devil, Satan, he has a hold on the minds of people who are not in Christ. This is why we ought not to be conformed to the patterns, to the values, and the customs of this world. Have you noticed the heresy, the blasphemy, the lack of reverence for godly principles that this world has? We need to be a people who are focused on Christ, a people who are governed by the Word of God, a people who are regulated and directed by the Holy Spirit, so that we can truly seek first the kingdom of God.
When you see a police officer in society, when you see a police car, when you see someone in uniform, the authority they have is delegated, meaning it's not their own personal authority that they stand on, but it's the authority that is backed by the law. Their authority is to uphold the law of the land. Now, as children of God, we too have authority, because the Bible says in Luke 10:19, "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you." We as children of God have delegated authority, meaning we are not facing the enemy with our own strength. We are not standing on our own authority, but we are backed by the authority given to us by God in Jesus Christ. Our authority is backed by the power of God and the Word of God. Now the devil knows this, and he will attack the Christian man or woman with the hope that they will never realize the power and authority that they have in Jesus Christ. Now, one of the weapons that the devil often uses is to get you to believe that either God hasn't forgiven you or that he won't forgive you. This is called condemnation. Condemnation is an attack from the devil that makes you not want to draw close to God. It makes you want to run as far away as possible because the devil wants you to believe that your sins aren't forgiven. Remember that he is an accuser of the brethren. And this is exactly what Adam and Eve felt in the garden, and it caused them to hide from God. The devil knows the power of condemnation, but I want you to know that the Bible says there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so we as believers have to exercise our God-given authority. Jesus Christ has already done everything necessary to secure the authority and power that we are to have over sin. And because of this, we are not condemned when we accept Jesus Christ into our hearts. So begin to walk with authority. But remember, this isn't your authority, but it's the authority given to you by Jesus Christ. The authority that you have as a child of God.
Pride is a dangerous thing. In Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13 and 14, the Bible tells us that Lucifer, in his heart, said, "I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the Mount of Assembly in the remote parts of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High." Pride was found in the heart of Lucifer. The devil took the focus of God and put it all on himself. He stripped himself of humility. He threw away gratitude and became all about him. "I will do this. I will do that." He said, "I will," 5 times, all because he allowed the spirit of pride to take over his heart. Now I wonder, what if you started saying, "I will" too? Where have you changed the tune from "God will" to "I will"? Is it still "God will provide for me"? Or is it all about what you will do without a second thought about the Lord? What I'm trying to tell you is that pride is a dangerous enemy. It's an enemy that can so easily come into our heart if you're not careful. The Bible tells us clearly that pride goes before destruction. Hear me when I say this. Pride is a dangerous thing. It can be birthed in your heart, but be the very thing that will lead to your downfall. And the evil thing about pride is that it leads you to shame others. You go out of your way to show your wealth, your car, your house. It becomes all about you. Do you see the danger in that? If you're filled with pride, God will humble you. And you don't want the Lord to humble you, because it's a painful process. So rather check your heart, humble yourself, or God will do it for you. Remember who you are. You are God's vessel. We are servants in the kingdom of God, and it's a privilege to serve Jesus, the one true master. He is the good shepherd, and we are the sheep. He is the almighty father, and we are his sons and daughters. We're his children. He is the creator, and we are new creations in him. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords.
One of the most important keys to living a godly life is having an understanding of the nature of sin and the danger it poses to us as believers. How many of us have done something, achieved something, or completed something, and then looked back at our work with pride? Be honest. We have all, at some point in our lives, done something that we've been proud of. Something whereby you've stepped back and said, "I did that." For some, they'll take pride in their gardens and in their homes. They'll make sure that no weeds are visible, the grass is expertly cut and always fed. Their homes are always neat with a fresh coat of paint every couple of years. And for others, their source of pride comes from achieving a career milestone like becoming the youngest director at their company. Others take pride in their uniform. They'll tell you, "My granddad served in the army, my father served in the army, and now I'm following in their footsteps." You see, we all have something that we take pride in. But as believers, we have to acknowledge that there is a point where pride becomes something more than just an achievement or a family legacy. There is a point where pride becomes destructive and evil. And what I find interesting is that the Bible explicitly states in Proverbs 16, verse 5 of the Amplified Translation, "Everyone who is proud and arrogant in heart is disgusting and exceedingly offensive to the Lord. Be assured he will not go unpunished. Pride offends God. Other translations call it an abomination. Pride is dangerously deceptive because what it does is it turns the focus, the praise and adulation away from God and towards yourself. Pride is you saying, "Praise me, not God. Look at me, not God. Clap and cheer for me, not for the Lord." That's what pride does. You go from saying, "It's by God's grace," to, "I did it all by myself. I worked hard and I did it." Think of it this way. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was humble. Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, the one with resurrection power. He was humble. The Bible says in Philippians 2, verse 5 to 7, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men." Jesus Christ gave up his divine privileges and took up the humble position of being born as a human being, all so that we could be saved. Jesus demonstrated true humility. The Bible says he emptied himself. He emptied himself of his glory and power so that he could be reduced to man, so that he could be at the same level as us and be born of a woman, all so he could save us. We have to follow the example that Christ set for us. The Bible in John chapter 13, verse 4 and 5 says, "So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him." Verse 12 then says, "When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. 'Do you understand what I have done for you?' he asked them." I want you to understand something. The disciples were there when Jesus turned water into wine. They were there when he cast out unclean spirits and delivered people from demons. The disciples saw Jesus walk on water. They heard him call out the name of a dead man, and that man, Lazarus, came out walking. The disciples witnessed the miracles of Jesus. They had no doubt that he could speak to the sea and wind and nature would obey. But yet this man, with such power, such divine anointing, a man with such authority, was humble enough to wash their feet? This is, in my opinion, the greatest demonstration of humility. How many of us, if placed in positions of authority, would humble ourselves and serve others? Others who may not be as qualified as we are. Those who may not have as much money as we have. Those who didn't graduate with honor like we did. Dear friend, if you're listening, hear me clearly. If you find that you refuse to serve others because you don't see their value, then you are filled with pride because God values every human being. If you find that you're looking down on someone simply because of their social or economic status, then you are filled with pride because the love of God sees the soul, not the possessions. If you find that you are talking more about yourself than God, if it's all about what you have done, what you can do instead of what God has done and what God can do, then you are in danger. The spirit of pride is dangerous because the Bible tells us in Proverbs 16, verse 18, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." One of the telltale signs that destruction is around the corner is pride. When you see pride in your life, know that destruction is coming if you do not go before God to be delivered of that spirit. Pride is to exalt or boast in oneself. You are effectively stripping God of the praise due to him and taking it for yourself. Pride comes when we exalt ourselves, and those who exalt themselves will be humbled. Isaiah 2 verse 12 says, "For the Lord of hosts has a day, against all that is proud and lofty, against all that is lifted up, and it shall be brought low." Don't wait for God to humble you. That will be a painful lesson. So I encourage you to really put Jesus Christ first. Biblical humility is not having low self-esteem. It's not you looking down on yourself or thinking that you're less than any other person. Biblical humility is serving the kingdom of God. It's serving the body of Christ. Biblical humility is living a life that seeks to do the will of God before your own will. The Lord has given us a model of how to act towards others, how to love others and treat others with godly care. Jesus set us an example, a blueprint on how we should be humble servants. I encourage you to set aside the spirit of pride if you find it present in your life.
Get your exterior painting to-dos done easily with Dutch Boy Pristine Exterior Paint. With its rain rinse technology, rain naturally washes away dirt and grime. Plus, it resists cracking and peeling, making it perfect to withstand the harshest weather conditions. Save big money on Pristine Exterior Paint and start your painting project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at Menards.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.